It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
One of the guys that I think impressed me more than Gaybert, and it was only a few of them on the team this spring, but perhaps the most impressive spring training turned in, was from Nassim Nunez, who I'm just really high on, man. This he is only a 24-year-old. I think people sleep on that fact. He's a New York native, really high-energy guy, very popular in the clubhouse. Just, you know, one of these dudes that I think all the players root for because of the work he put in. It was a really tough year for him last year. He was a Rule 5 draft pick who comes over from the Marlins organization, where he had been kind of a bee's knees type player at every team he was at, you know, hitting at the top of the order, shortstop. And well before he was actually ready to be in the majors, based on the quirkiness of the Rule 5 draft, when you take a player, you have to keep them in the major leagues or you return that player to the organization you got them from. And so even though he wasn't really big league ready, and certainly offensively, he was overmatched, the Nats kept him in the big leagues all year long. They barely played him and kind of stashed him on the bench, which makes it even harder to have any kind of progress as you're developing offensively. But he is a sterling defensive player up the middle who could play plus shortstop at the major league level. He could win a Gold Glove Award, maybe at the most premium position in the infield. And he's one of the fastest runners, not just on the team, but probably in the division. I mean, we're talking about run times that are, you know, some of the tops in the game from Nassim Nunez. So when you have a skill like his glove and a tool where you're, you know, a 70 defender, let's say, and then you've got a 7 or a 7.5 run grade being slapped on you as well, and maybe it's even 80, right? It's his sprint speed last year was 95th percentile. His arm strength in the infield was 94th percentile. And then there were some encouraging things offensively. His chase percentage was close to 90th percentile. He doesn't swing and miss. Short, compact swing. He walked a ton. He struck out less than average. So, I mean, really, really some good things. So then he worked with James Wood, and James Wood's coach, I should know the guy's name, but his name's Coach G. In Gaithersburg. And I'm sure you mentioned this in some of your observations on the last podcast, but he had a way, way different approach and way more success at putting the barrel on the ball in the strike zone and actually hitting for some authority in this past spring. He was 13 for 31 at the plate. He doubled a couple times. He ended up hitting 420 with a 970 OPS. He stole 7 bases in 9 tries. You know, if he could just hit a little bit, and I'm talking like league average, right? Hit 245 without much power. With his glove and his defense, he could start on bad baseball teams. I don't know if that's what you want on a team trying to win a World Series, let's say, but I am intrigued by Nunez. I still think there's a future for him in the major leagues every single day, whether it's at shortstop or not, probably at second base if you're trying to win a World Series or something like that, where he's just a platinum glove defender when you move him over. But I don't know. Are you feeling any of the juices I am for Nassim Nunez after our spring training trip?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, I don't know where he fits is the issue. Luis Garcia had such a good year last year. If he continues to do that, that's your second baseman. CJ is obviously kind of set in stone right now at shortstop, unless you wanted to maybe make a change there of sorts, but it's not like CJ would have a position to go to, because your next thought for CJ would be to go to the outfield, and there's already a logjam there, so he's not going to take Louis' spot. Third base, I guess, is an option at some point, but you know, I think Nassim Nunez just kind of runs into a problem where they've got some guys there, but yeah, I mean, he's such a likable guy. Everybody in the clubhouse loves him. He's such a upbeat, fun dude. I mean, there was a moment down there in spring training where you guys were hosting the show on Sunday, and he came out to eat lunch where you guys were hosting, and you kind of made a joke like, next we're gonna break down Nassim Nunez, and he's like, what? Like, and it just, you know, rolls with the punches, a guy that everyone loves, easy to get along with, and he's got some really good tools, like I talked about last year at times. You know, it's a shame that Nats Park doesn't open a little bit earlier to watch batting practice, and that's something that people really, really love, obviously. But if there were a chance for you to get in there and watch Nassim Nunez take fielding practice and take some ground balls at short, it's a show. I mean, his arm is incredible. The things that he can do at shortstop are really, really good. I think you're right that if he played there for a 162, regardless of what happens with the bat, he'd be a gold glover, if not a platinum glover, because he's so special there. He's so fast. So you always can find a spot for those guys. And you know, for people that are wondering why some of the guys like the end of the roster for the 26-man this year are getting spots over him, it's because he just needs to get regular at-bats. I mean, this is a guy that could turn into something, whether it's for your organization or somewhere else, if ultimately you feel like you're good at those spots and you're not going to be able to find a spot for him. Like, I think he's a really valuable player. Matter of fact, we're watching one of the spring training games while we were down there talking to his hitting coach, and he had a beautiful hit where ball was pitched to him outside, looked like a fastball, and he just went with it down the left field line, beautifully going the other way, and roped it down the line for a double. And if he can be, like you said, a league average hitter, maybe even you can get away with slightly below league average, because shortstop is such a premium position. He could be someone that is really important to an organization because of his defense, because of his speed. And, you know, he's such a good clubhouse guy. That's something that, just being over there a lot last year, you could tell how much the guys loved him. He's a fun dude to be around. He's, you know, still really, really young. And the Nationals have tried the Rule 5 draft pick the last couple of years. 2022, they went with Thad Ward. That didn't work out. They went with Nunez in 2023, and that seems like it's going to be, you know, at least the best of the three, because this past year they went with Reifert, and he's already back with his former ball club. So at least they found some success with Nunez. I don't know what the long-term plans are, but I do think overall, after what you saw in the spring, a guy that was kind of a forgotten part of last year's team because he played so sparingly, I think he's a decent part of their future. I don't know the role. That's the tough part about it, but I think if he continues to improve, he'll have a role in a big league ball club, whether it's in D.C. or somewhere else.
Well, it's crazy to me, too, how much he walks. You know, if you go back to his last minor league season in 2023, he walked 90 times as a guy who didn't hit much. You know, normally walks often come when you're a big, imposing physical presence and there's a fear of home run or damage, right? I mean, for him to walk 90 times when he hit 5 home runs and almost 600 plate appearances, it tells you a lot about his approach and his discipline and his batter's eye. So now if you have a, you know, a better swing and you're in the zone longer and you're able to do more damage when you hit the ball, I mean, even just adding, you know, 225 becoming 240 and slugging 286 becoming 315 or whatever, now your OPS is up to 700. That year he stole 50 plus bases. 50 plus bases in the minor leagues as a 22-year-old at that time in the high minors, who really didn't know what he was doing on the base paths yet, probably. That's just based on his speed and athletic traits. Like, there is absolutely some intrigue to Nassim Nunez. This was our conversation with him at spring training.
So I've got to say, you're like, I didn't even see you here. You're like tucked way back in your locker, hidden behind your clothes. And I was joking. It looked like you've been shoved in your locker, but you said it's peaceful. I haven't seen that move before. That's a good go-to for you?
A peaceful move?
Well, just sitting way back in your locker behind your clothes.
Yeah, it's just peaceful. Like, it's like a little block. It's tunnel vision almost. Focus on things I need to focus on.
Seems like things are different for you this year. It's like maybe stuff has slowed down a little bit. Maybe you're more comfortable. Go into what's different for you year over year with this club.
Honestly, it was just being in the big leagues, you know, being around coaches and teammates and getting to watch the best literally every single day. So it just showed me a different mindset and how I could help the team win.
I think everybody's understood now after last year, defensively, elite. Like, you could be one of the better shortstops in baseball, and your speed is unbelievable. The question's been hitting, and you look locked in right now. The double you barreled down the other line yesterday was nice. You worked a lot with James and I think his coach in Maryland. What was your off-season program like in terms of hitting, and where you made a lot of strides, do you think?
Yeah, honestly, to be honest with you, I was going to quit switch hitting left-handed, but I talked to my mom in D.C., and they were like, nah, just, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. You've only been doing this for about 6-7 years, so continue to work. And that day we had a conversation. I went into the gym at Nats Park alone and started doing some things and kind of figured something out in my swing, and that allowed me to retain the knowledge and information from Coach G and James a lot more and helped me put it together and allowed it to click.
What are the biggest differences, maybe? I don't know if it's either mechanical or just with what you've worked on from a year ago, do you think?
Honestly, the biggest thing for me was I figured out that I was hitting left-handed backwards the whole time I've been hitting lefty. So that once I figured that out, now it was just the matter of getting reps and working, because I was getting a lot of reps last year, but I was doing it backwards, so it was nothing I could really do about it. You know, I was unaware, but once I became aware, it allowed me to clean my bat path a lot easier and, you know, get my hips to work in the right direction, get everything to flow in the right way.
I think people underestimate that, how challenging that is. It's, you know, just do the same thing, but the mirror image of it, where your dominant hand is leading and everything's backwards.
You got to find out how to get it the same exact way. You know, it's different swings, but each mechanic should be doing the same thing or going to get to a position to do the same thing.
But it's almost like you're two different hitters, and like, you know, where how you're feeling on one side maybe changes how you feel on the other side, and sometimes you'll probably go days or weeks at a time without seeing a lefty for whatever reason, right? I mean, I can't imagine the challenge while also, you know, trying to establish yourself in the big leagues, maintaining that little extra bit that you have to do. It's an extra challenge people don't think about.
Yeah, so last year, I always believed I was a great hitter. I just didn't have the swing left-handed. So last year really taught me that hitting is hitting. It's baseball. Just like when we were kids, you would go to school, go get a haircut, and then go straight to the ballpark and play a game. And, you know, you get four hits. So I kind of got the same mentality from last season when I was sitting on the bench all year and just getting very limited at bats. It was keeping my mind in the game. That's all hitting and timing is. It's having your mind. And then in the mornings and during batting practice is when you get to practice your mechanics and make sure you're ready to go for the game. So it kind of makes the game a little bit easier.
So I want to talk about that role, because you get picked in the Rule 5 draft and you come over here. So they've got to keep you in the big leagues. But yet there's not a spot for you to play. And so you're literally going at times like 2 weeks without playing, or like, I don't know, a month probably without an at-bat. That's impossible for anybody. But for a young guy trying to find his way and trying to figure out how to hit in the big leagues, like, you're being set up in a sense, not nefariously, but like to fail. So the beginning of this year, I'm kind of thinking, well, you look better offensively. We know about the speed and defense. You'd be an amazing player off the bench. But it might be best for you to just go to AAA and get at-bats every single day. Like, how do you think about that as someone who you've traveled with the big leaguers, you've been up here, you probably don't want to ever go back to the minors. But if you played every day and other teams are seeing you, like, there's a future where you could be an everyday shortstop.
I believe there was already a future for me to be everyday shortstop since the day I got drafted. You know, I never sat on the bench until Rule 5, so that was utility was never in my head for that. But
going to be hard then. I mean, like,
yeah,
to go from,
you know,
being the guy.
It was most definitely stressful, but I was built for it. I am built for it. Like, it's just baseball. I've been playing baseball my whole life, so I don't look at it any different than it's baseball. So I started playing MLB The Show to keep my mind engaged, you know? Just, it's baseball, you know? And you just do the little things to make sure that your body is ready to go play the game. But at the end of the day, it's baseball.
We talked about this a bit yesterday off the air, but you do play as yourself on MLB The Show. How are you doing? You keeping the stats? You keeping the numbers up?
Oh, yeah. And from 24, you know, hitting pretty good. Got, like, 20 homers, hitting, like, 420, you know. So, yeah, it's fun.
Have a great season.
Thank you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
One other interview we did at spring training that we wanted to play for you, because it's a guy that we've talked about on the pod over the last couple of years, working his way through the high minors, is Zach Brixey, who was competing for and honestly may well have made the big league team out of camp now that we know what we do about the bullpen competition. But he ended up getting hurt, and he talked about it a little bit in the interview you'll hear here with him. But ended up getting just 2/3 of an inning under his belt this spring, so he'll be working his way back to health and presumably pitching in some AAA outings to rehab. But I think you'll see him in the major leagues very soon. Zach Brixey went to Virginia Tech, did not get drafted in the pandemic year in 2020, which was only a 5-round draft, but probably would have gone shortly thereafter, and had some just dominant minor league totals for the Nationals. I am a big believer in minor league relievers who put up like video game numbers. And even though they're not prospects, sometimes they get slept on. This was a guy who in the minor leagues last year, 43 Ks and just 15 hits in 35 innings. If you go back to 2022, he missed the 23 season with an arm injury, but 61 innings, 95 strikeouts, only 33 hits. Now we're talking about 3.8 hits per nine over the last couple of years. In the minor leagues, less than 6 hits per 9 innings. Pretty astounding numbers for Brixey. So I cannot wait till he gets comfortable in the big leagues and starts helping them in the middle innings, which I think could happen probably before the All-Star break this year.
Yeah, I mean, he struggled in his little bit of time in the big leagues last year, but like you said, in the minor leagues, he'd been dominant the last couple of seasons when he's been on the field. So it's a big health thing for him, obviously coming back from TJ, dealing with some leg injuries this spring training. But once he gets healthy, I mean, this is a guy that might be a decent part of the bullpen going forward. So get him healthy, see if he can come back up. I think sometimes you get guys like that that struggle in their first go around, then they get a little more of an understanding, get a little more comfortable. They've pitched on a big league mound before, they've gone through it, they've, you know, been with the club in their second time around. Maybe they're a little bit more comfortable out there and pitch more like the guy you see in the minor league. So I'm excited for him to get another chance. Really good guy as well, and excited to see what he can do when he gets his next shot in the bigs.
We found Zach Brixey here at spring training, the Virginia Tech Hokie product, who we've seen now get to the big leagues and trying to battle for an opportunity to pitch again in the show early this year. How are things going so far?
So far, pretty well. Dealing with some quad tendonitis, so I haven't pitched in, 3 weeks now? Doing bullpens and just doing rehab for it, but arm's feeling great coming off TJ. Yeah, pretty happy with it.
What was it like last year, pitching at so many levels? Just it seemed like you're in a new place every time you pitched.
I mean, it was an insane year. I pitched at every level besides low A. But it was more of just a year for me to be healthy and kind of bounce back. And result-oriented wasn't my main focus. I just wanted to be healthy. But it was just a surreal year coming from injury and then just where I ended up. Learned a lot, but it was by far one of the best years of my life, if not the best year.
Yeah. Made. The results, though, you say like maybe don't matter as much, but when you're shoving like that and getting those results, and not only the saves, but like nobody's hitting or scoring runs, like does your confidence skyrocket with each outing?
Definitely,
what's that
for sure, especially like rehabbing during rehab. It was definitely reassuring to see that, yeah, I'm rehabbing, but I'm still having the results I had pre-surgery. So that was very reassuring and boost my confidence for sure.
How does getting a taste of the big leagues help you prepare? Just seeing major league hitters, does it change anything for you?
Yes and no. I mean, definitely have to be a little more sharp and can't miss, but I mean, it's still the same game you played your whole life. So don't give them too much credit, but, you know, have confidence in your stuff that you got there for a reason. And yeah, it's pretty much, I mean, very eye-opening stuff, just the hitters I faced and the results I had. But yeah, just learning time for me. And I think coming off that year, I learned a lot and kind of know how to approach it better. But like I said, last year was more of a health thing, but definitely, you know, achieving that dream in the big leagues was just something I always wanted. So it was cool.
First big league appearance, and like take us back and just your memories and how many people were there, what that was like.
Yeah, I was kind of blacked out during it. I mean, I've been looking forward to this day my whole life, so finally being there was surreal. But I have my family there, parents, girlfriend, her family, just some other family friends along the way. But I mean, I think it was the best day of my life, honestly. I mean, I've been working since I was 4 to be there, and I finally had it, so it was just checking the box. I told my family, I was like, hey, I can die happy now.
Yeah.
I achieved the dream, even though I hopefully play for as long as I can, 15 years, whatever. I ticked that box. So that was cool.
I remember talking to David Price from the Rays and Dodgers and all, Boston. And he said his first appearance ever, he came into the game and his knees were actually like shaking. Like he was that nervous. And this is a dude that went 1-1 out of Vandy, right? Like, what were your nerves like? What do you remember about that?
I mean, coming from, I think we're playing in Scranton, and it was cold, rainy, and not many fans there to play in front of. It was a Sunday crowd in D.C. It was like probably 30,000 people.
Yeah.
I don't even know a word to describe it. It was just like, whoa. I don't know if I was shaking my knees, but nerves were in there, a little pit in the stomach. But, I mean, once you go out there and throw your first pitch, you're like, all right, let's do it. So it wasn't too bad, but definitely larger scale.
It does not feel like a Wednesday night Rochester.
Absolutely not. No chance.
What were some of the things you were working on this offseason?
Just consistency. I mean, health is definitely a priority for me, but consistency and just I think just kind of building the velo back too. Velo's a little down, but that's just kind of a part of TJ rehab, so building the velo back and just consistency.
For Nats fans, I mean, many of them obviously saw you pitch now, but refresher, what you throw and kind of like velocity, just take us through the scouting report.
Forcing fastball, that's part of my bread and butter pitch. Changeup and like a 12-6 curve, kind of some main three mix. Pitch mix, but fastball anywhere from 93 to 97. Change up, kind of a power change up, like upper 80s, and then curveball is 81, 84. Pretty consistent mix. But yeah, that's about it. Nothing.
Are you like a high spin rate guy? Like your fastball plays up.
Yeah. Want to stay in the top of the zone. Spin rate's not I mean, it's not crazy, but more of the induced vertical, pretty very high.
Okay. So. Is that like look something you look at in the lab, like when you're on a, you know, Repsoda or something, or do you, are you one of those guys or no?
Yes and no. I don't want to look. I don't want to delve too much into numbers. I mean, I'm more of old school, just grip it and rip it and kind of pitch with what you have. But it is nice every once in a while to see how your shapes look and kind of compare to, I don't know, a month difference or a year difference, especially coming off rehab too. I want to make sure my stuff's where it was before. So, but I'm not like a super in-depth person about analytics. It's cool, but I'm not going to live and die by it.
How much does your routine change after TJ? Is it similar once you get out of that rehab process, or is it still something that you have to work with?
I mean, just making sure I'm more loose, take a little more time to warm up and make sure everything's firing, make sure everything is where it needs to be. And then post, definitely a lot more emphasis on arm care, forearm care, shoulder care, whatever I need to do, just so, you know, stay healthy and maintain what I did with that year off. I had to build up to where I was, just maintain that. And I mean, but mainly arm care wise, just really be on top of it.
Zach Brixey, the Nats, last one for me. The automated strike zone conversation. Now we're doing the challenges. I've seen this in the AFL and Futures games, and I think it's the coolest thing with the fans kind of getting to be a part of it at the, on the screen. But what's your take? Like, would you rather just go straight up old school or full-time automated? Like, where are you at?
Like I said, I'm more of an old school, so I just like the good old, let the umpire call it. And, you know, sometimes you get some calls, sometimes you don't. Do I think it's good? I mean, definitely holds more accountable, but I don't know. I'm an old school person.
You got to do it in the minors, I'm sure. So
yeah, Triple A, I had it last year a little bit. So I mean, it's cool. I mean, being a reliever, I don't think I used it once, but in having the back pocket can't hurt. But I'm an old school person. So
yeah, for those that don't know, I work with the Virginia Tech Hokies. Zach Brixey, a proud Hokie. What's your favorite time or favorite memory from being with Virginia Tech?
Oh man, I think mine was freshman year. We played Clemson. It was a night game and it was sold out. It was one of the coolest experiences ever. And their opening's sick. I'll stand by. It's one of the best and might be the best in college football. So just having that opening, playing Clemson. It was a close game we lost, but it was just so fun being around. The whole team was there. It was just an unreal night. It was fun.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we will have one more Bustin' Loose Baseball episode coming your way before the start of the season. It'll be available for you come Wednesday. So you'll have the full day ahead of opening day on Thursday to get into the Nats mood before a baseball holiday all over D.C. on Thursday as the Nationals open their season. So get ready for our season preview coming up on Wednesday. Until then, subscribe, rate, review, and spread the word that BLB is back for the 2025 campaign. Thanks for checking us out and enjoy Nats baseball.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.